Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Then he drops him. He sacks him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight on the show, we're going to reconnect with former Bills Pro Bowl linebacker Shane Conlin. He's now working in the Arena Football League in Pittsburgh. Bills special teams coach Danny Crossman joins us at 8 o'clock. And at 8:30, comedian Steve Ranazzisi. He's one of the stars of the popular FSX comedy, The League.
To crease up the middle, dodges the man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, here we go. Welcome. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We've got a two-hour show here tonight, here until 9 o'clock, and you heard the lineup. Got a lot of conversating to do here tonight, but we want to talk with you as well on the program. Give us a call. Anything you want to talk about, the Bills, the NFL, 803-0550. The number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. How about this? What do you think of this? So yesterday, and we had the news on the podcast yesterday, the first ever meeting of the stadium work group, the committee, the 20-person committee assigned to look at all the options for future stadiums for the Buffalo Bills, whether it's reconstruction, rebuilding Ralph Wilson Stadium, or building an entirely new stadium. Where's it going to be? How's it going to be paid for? What's it going to look like? That's what the committee's all about. We want a little citizen input tonight on that. We want a little public input, some fan input on the radio show tonight. Let us know what you think. If you were on that committee, if you were part of the stadium work group, you know, one of the 20 people who went to that meeting yesterday, say a representative of the fans, what would be your number one priority? What would you focus on as we look forward to the future of the Buffalo Bills in Western New York? What would be your number one priority? What would be at the top of your list? What would you like to see moving forward with the Buffalo Bills? Would you be in favor of reconstructing, rebuilding Ralph Wilson Stadium for the long haul? I mean, keep in mind, when this lease is up, we're talking about a stadium that's going to be 50 years old. There's not a whole lot of 50-year-old stadiums out there. Would you like to see a dome stadium? Would you like to see a retractable roof stadium? Would you like an open-air stadium? Would you like natural grass or artificial turf? Where would you like to see it? A waterfront, downtown, same site in Orchard Park, Niagara Falls, halfway between Rochester and Buffalo. The possibilities are endless. Who would you like to pay for it? The new owner, the next owner, the government, sort of a partnership? Give us your thoughts. What would be at the top of your list if you went to that meeting, if you were representing the fans on the stadium work group that had its first meeting yesterday? They've got three co-chairmen, as you know, Russ Brandon, the Bills president and CEO. They've got Lieutenant Governor Bob Duffy representing the state of New York, and Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz. Those are the three co-chairs. There's about 17 others on the committee right now. And let's say if they filled one seat and left one seat open for Buffalo Bills fans, and you represent the fans, what would be at the top of your list? Location, the design of the stadium, the playing surface itself, the financing, refurbishing the current stadium. What would be at the top of your list for a new stadium, or the next stadium, or the stadium that will keep the Buffalo Bills here long term? If you have thoughts on that, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. My thoughts, what would I want to see? I think I'd want to see an open-air stadium, possibly with a retractable roof, although if it gets too gets too expensive, I could do without the retractable roof. It'd be great to have a retractable roof. I'd like to see a stadium that's either here in Orchard Park at the same stadium site or somewhere in downtown Buffalo. I know the benefits. People talk about Niagara Falls for the Canadian fans. Some people talk about, you know, heading east towards Rochester, maybe Batavia to incorporate more folks from that side of the state. I'd like to see it in downtown Buffalo, somewhere around downtown Buffalo. I'd like to see natural grass surface, which may mean that you need a retractable roof on the stadium. I'd like to see a smaller stadium, you know, 60,000 maybe, 62,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, so that blackouts are no longer an issue. I'd like to see a stadium that incorporates all of the new fan amenities that we're accustomed to, and many of those are going to be in the stadium that's being rebuilt right across the parking lot here now, but also a stadium that sort of preserves the heritage of pro football in Buffalo. Maybe a stadium that kind of looks like the current Ralph Wilson Stadium. As far as sight lines, as far as the bowl seating, you really can't beat what we have here in Orchard Park right now. I've been to every stadium in the NFL, right? I think I've been to every stadium in the NFL at least once. The seating area here, the sight lines, the proximity to the field, you can't beat it in the current stadium that we have here in Orchard Park. So I would like to see something similar to that. You know, the seats right up close to the field, maybe elevated slightly more so that fans kind of can reach out and feel like they can touch the players on the field so that they know that they'll be heard by the players on the field. So that's what I'd be looking for. I'd be looking for a stadium with natural grass, with the similar kind of sight lines we have here in Orchard Park now, with a retractable roof, with the option to go open air much of the season, maybe except for a couple of games, with fan amenities like great concession stands, et cetera, with a public gathering space. And in the stadium that's being built right now, in the refurbished Ralph Wilson Stadium under construction right now, it's going to be a great building on the Abbott Road side. It's under construction. If you drive by, you can see it. That'll kind of serve as the front door to Ralph Wilson Stadium. I think you need to preserve that moving forward. You need to have some place where fans can congregate, some place where fans can go watch the pregame radio show or television show before the game, some place that says, this is the stadium, this is where you come in. You can have other entrances as well. This is where we house our history. This is where you can buy merchandise. I think they're in the process of building that here right now, but in the new stadium, if there is one, I'd like to see more of that, more of a centralized location for entry to the stadium, and I'd like to see it somewhere in downtown Buffalo. If you were on that stadium advisory panel, that stadium work group that met yesterday, what would you like to see? What would be at the top of your list for the next stadium housing Buffalo Bills football? Or maybe you just want to see this one rebuild again. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free. It's a toll-free call outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What would you like to see? What would you like to see the stadium? Where would you like to see it? And who do you think should pay for it? A couple of tweets already. Tom Bickelman tweets in, by the way, first he says, Donald Trump to buy the Bills and keep him here. The rest is academic. Then he says, by the way, grass and open. Not talking about ownership tonight, and Trump's name is out there now. There will be other names, I'm sure, moving forward. Pete Musialowski tweets in, retractable, natural grass, downtown stadium complex. Pete Musialowski continues, need more than just a stadium if it's going to be downtown. Need a complex like the Patriots have. Yeah, maybe. How about a complex like Indianapolis has? Lucas Oil Stadium. The stadium right there and right directly across the street, a beautiful convention center, a big, huge convention center, sort of a gathering place for all of the stadium activities. BC72 tweets in, ensuring long-term viability of the Bills in Buffalo, whatever that looks like. Yeah, that's the point here, really, right? And Carlene Marie tweets in the same thing, keeping the Bills in Buffalo. That's the point here. On your list of things that would keep the Bills here, ensure the long-term viability, ensure that fans are comfortable and are happy with the stadium, what would your stadium look like? What would you like to see in the next stadium if there is going to be one for the Buffalo Bills? Imagine you're on that stadium work group, and imagine what your list of priority would look like as you walked into that first meeting yesterday. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll start with Ron in Hamilton on the line. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hey, John. First-time caller, long-time listener. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in, Ron.
Great. I'd like to talk about, for a new stadium, if they could somehow map out how the acoustics work in Seattle Stadium out there. The noise factor can be a big difference to winning. Now, obviously, they have a great team, which helps them win the most. But, if you can cause the team to go offside on a 3rd and 10 late in the game, that sure helps. Or if the opposing coach has to waste a couple of timeouts due to noise, every little bit helps. And if Russ Brandon has said that you know, winning is a priority with taking away the Toronto game, then they should definitely look into acoustics and figure out how to maximize crowd noise. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Ron, thanks. Not a bad idea. I'm trying to I don't know why the Quest Field in Seattle is built the way it is, but it is extremely steep. The stadium seating is an extremely steep area. And so that's why there is so much noise, I believe, that congregates there. The walls are high. The noise gets trapped in there inside the playing surface area and doesn't get out. Right across the parking lot here at Ralph Wilson Stadium, I would say that this is more of an open stadium. And although it gets very noisy here, it does not have the impact of the noise staying in the bowl as it does in Seattle and some other places. Is that the top priority? Not on my list, but I'm sure competitive considerations are something to look at. You know, you want to make sure your team plays well in its stadium. I think you want to make sure that your fans respond to the play so they come out in large numbers and so that you have a true home field advantage, whether that means a noise as an issue, maybe. I think more than that, it's ensuring that the fans are comfortable, they like the stadium, and they're going to come out and support the team. I think that's mostly what a home field advantage is all about. Let us know what you think. If you were on that stadium work group and you went to that meeting yesterday, what would be at the top of your list for considerations for a new stadium or a reconstruction of the current stadium? Lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Craig Danzer tweets in, we'd like them to keep the roof open. The Bills and their fans are known for playing and enduring the crazy weather we have. Yeah, that's to me a tough call. That's why I lean towards retractable roof, because I know the weather can be an advantage to the Bills, but it can also, when it comes to selling season tickets, I believe, and it comes to attendance in late season games, it's a big factor. A retractable roof would give them the option of closing the roof if the weather conditions were going to be extremely harsh. I mean, I think they'd play, if in a perfect world, I'd love it if the Bills played in outdoor conditions most of the season. But if all of a sudden people are not going to buy tickets because the weather is too severe and they don't want to sit in the cold or the wet or the rain or the snow, that's where a retractable roof comes into play in my mind. You might feel differently about that. Some people don't mind it, but I do think it's a consideration late in the year. All you got to do is look at ticket sales for those last few games, the ones that traditionally they have trouble selling out. Obviously, winning is the major factor there, but I think late season weather is a factor as well. Let us know what you think. What would be on your list of things to consider in a new stadium if you were part of that stadium working group? Western New York Bills fan tweets in, the Ralph could be updated right where it is. The Ralph now has the best accessibility. A city stadium will be too congested. Good point. You know, people have their routes here to Ralph Wilson Stadium. 73,000 can get in and out of here without too much trouble. A downtown stadium somewhere, congestion might be an issue. Although, if you look at the map of Buffalo, sort of all roads lead to downtown. I think Niagara Square is sort of the focal point of all the roads in the city, all the streets in the city of Buffalo. And, of course, the Niagara section of the thruway is right there next to downtown Buffalo. But that's to be considered. I think that might be the type of thing that keeps like a waterfront destination maybe not workable, not plausible for the Bills. The fact that there's only essentially, if you're talking about you know, the outer harbor area, there's only one road in, one road out. That would be a problem. Here's a call from Mark in New Jersey. Mark, welcome. You're on the show. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. I would actually fly up to games more if the stadium was in Buffalo, no matter where it was in the city of Buffalo. It should be a retractable roof. I think you'd get more people to go out, especially in the later months where they didn't feel like getting their kids sick or sitting out in weather. Also, you know, I live here in New Jersey, and they have a hard time selling out the MetLife Stadium, both the Jets and Giants, because of the PSL system. So if they do build it, it should no way, shape, or form be under a PSL, because that's a blight on humanity, and it's much more affluent down here, and then these people can hardly afford the tickets.
Do they really have trouble selling out Jets and Giants, though?
Go on their website, both of them. There is empty seats all over.
Okay, now you're into the financing part, which is going to be problematical, obviously, but that's a good point. Let's go to a Rob in Charlotte. Hi, Rob. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Okay.
Good. I was just kind of echoing your sentiments. I would love to see it back in Buffalo. Obviously, I probably couldn't be at Old War Memorial, but I would love to see it back in Buffalo. I really wouldn't worry about the congestion too much. The waterfront would be great. I think people will just adjust and get there. You talk about 73,000, they'll get there. The people love their Buffalo Bills, and we'll get there. I would love to see a retractable roof. Love to see the harbor kind of built back up because it's just been so stagnant for so many years. I really think that would help revitalize the city.
All right. Thanks very much, Rob. We're talking about the stadium, and if you can put yourself in position of being on that stadium work group, the group that met yesterday for the first time, and they've got months, probably years of work ahead. I mean, the initial meeting was yesterday. There's still no, you know, clear indication of who the next owner of the team might be. The initial meeting yesterday. But if you were on that committee, what would your focus be? What would be at the top of your priority list of keeping the Bills here long term? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Kevin in Kenmore. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph, how you doing, man?
Okay.
Listen, I tend to agree with you on the retractable roof. I go to the games. I love when it snows and when it's cold. You know, you dress up with the cold weather gear. But I think with the retractable roof, perhaps you might attract a couple more events. You know, I mean, why is the combine always in Indy? You know, I feel that it should be moved around the NFL and get the cities a chance to reap those benefits and things like that. So I think there's a lot of opportunities with a retractable roof, and I would love to see it in downtown. There's a lot of outlets in Buffalo. It's not that congested, and I don't think that would be a problem. But thanks for taking my call.
All right, Kevin, thanks very much. We're putting ourselves in the place of being a member of that stadium work group, the group that met yesterday, and trying to figure out what would be at the top of your list. A lot of people, I mean, a couple of people so far, talking about retractable roof as maybe the most important consideration. It's right up there for me. It would be an interesting discussion, I think, on a weekly basis in November and December, roof open, roof closed. What if you could do it so that the season ticket holders, people who are actually coming to the game, could vote, say, online, like by Thursday or Friday of the week leading up to the game? Look at the weather forecast, roof open, roof closed. Why wouldn't that work? That might work, right? Jay Harris, producer?
That's a good idea, yeah.
You know, if you get a certain code, you...
That's the majority, so...
Yeah, those are the... There'd be an extra benefit to being a season ticket holder. You get to decide.
Give them the chance to decide whether you have it open or closed. Although, come winter, you know, I have a feeling some of those diehard fans will probably want the roof open.
Yeah. I think it'd be a close vote. Yeah. I think, given the unpredictable nature of the weather, it could be really interesting. Yeah. If you vote one way Friday and want to change your vote Sunday morning when you get up to go to the game. Here is Mark in Kenmore. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Murph. I wouldn't have a problem if the stadium was downtown, if it was put there. But I'm hoping that one thing that will not be overlooked, I don't know if someone else brought it up, Ralph Wilson Stadium has wonderful sight lines, and I'm hoping that if it is replaced, that the next stadium has sight lines as good, equal, or better like the Ralph. I think I want an intimidating home field advantage for an opponent to deal with. I want Buffalo to rival the Seattle Seahawks.
All right, Mark, thank you. Yeah, we talked about that a couple of minutes ago. The current sight lines in the current stadium are among the best in the league, really, and I've been to all the stadiums. You can get a look at the game here about as good as you can anywhere in the NFL. And that goes towards the proximity of the seats to the field, the slope of the seats. I think it's a great place to watch a game. I think... New England, Gillette Stadium is another great place to watch a game. Similar slope, it seems to me, the seats, much more expensive seats than we have here in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills. But, yeah, you can pattern yourself after what you have here in terms of sight lines if you're building a new stadium. Tony in Buffalo. Hi, Tony. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Okay.
I'd like to say retractable roof, grass or artificial, doesn't matter. I don't think that it would be a problem getting in and out of the city because we're talking something that was 20 years ago. I think we can come up with a way to do that. Retractable roof because we can have more events in the arena throughout the year. You know, maybe NCAA, maybe car shows, concerts, whatever. And also I would like to see maybe the Metro Rail be more of a part of bringing people in and out of to the stadium.
That's a great idea, Tony, to use public transit. That puts you basically on the Metro Rail line, which ends, you know, obviously at the foot of Main Street. I took the Metro Rail each of the last two weekends, as a matter of fact, for hockey last Saturday night and for the NCAA tournament the week before. And it's been years since I've done that. It works. You park up Main Street a little bit, You avoid the $40 and $60 parking fees for the NCAA tournament. Park up, I'm not kidding. You park up Main Street a little bit, jump on the free Metro Rail, and go to First Niagara Center. Why not put a stadium somewhere along that line, or even if you have to extend that line? Let's go to Kenny in Dunkirk. Hello, Kenny. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Okay.
I had an idea. I don't know if it's really possible or not, but only, you know, build a stadium with a retractable roof and only close it for the winter months, you know, during the off season, or maybe even if we get a Super Bowl. You know, during the season, during the Bills home games, all the roof is always open with natural grass.
Yeah, okay. Super Bowl, I think it's a long shot, Kenny, mostly because of weather. I mean, you heard the hue and cry about the Super Bowl in New York this past February, and they caught a huge break with the weather, but there was no guarantee that they were going to get through that. So the Super Bowl will be a long shot, but other events, I think, could be held in a downtown retractable roof-type stadium. If I had to summarize the call so far, retractable roof seems to be at the top of everybody's list. For the versatility it provides. And I think I get it. I think Buffalo Bills fans like to be in the outdoors, in the elements, to a point. And that point is freezing rain, you know, drizzle that's freezing. The snow doesn't bother us as much as kind of the soaker, you know, the freezing rain you'll get sometimes November or December, and people would want a retractable roof for that. Very interesting. We're going to talk a lot about stadiums in the weeks and months and probably years ahead. We're going to talk a lot about future owners. Everything's on the table now, and this is a discussion that will be continued, and we'll continue it on tonight, as a matter of fact. But we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, one of the all-time great Buffalo Bills, a key member of the Super Bowl Buffalo Bills, a Pro Bowl performer at linebacker and a former first-round draft pick. Did you know Shane Conley is back in football in his adopted hometown of Pittsburgh? He's working in the Arena Football League these days. We're going to hook up with Shane Conley when we return and talk to him about his new job in the Arena Football League and get some of his thoughts on his time here with the Buffalo Bills. The Frewsburg native Shane Conley coming up next. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO for this Wednesday night. Reconnecting with an old pal, an old radio pal of mine. We did radio years ago on WBEN. He's a former Bills first-round draft pick, a Western New York native from Frewsburg, New York. Former Bills linebacker Shane Conley on the line with us. Shane, how are you tonight? Great to be with you.
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, John.
Hey, those were the days on Monday nights when you and your fiance Caroline would drive up to the Elmwood Avenue Studios on Mondays after a game and talk. That those were fond memories for me. Probably not as fond for you, Shane.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. Caroline kind of did that deal for me. She was working with the Bisons at the time, so yeah, that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun together. That's for sure.
You know what I remember, Shane? I think you proposed to Caroline like on your way to do the radio show one night or something.
I did. Yep. It was on a Monday. I remember that. I think it was right either before or after the show. Yeah.
What was that? Like 20, 20? How long have you been married now?
Yeah. Oh God. Almost 25 years.
Good for you. Congratulations, and give my best to Caroline. Shane, the reason we caught up with you, we came across your name in an article. You are back in football in your adopted hometown in Pittsburgh, working for the Arena Football League Pittsburgh Power. How did that come about, Shane?
Well, I was working for another company, and then the owner of the team, Matt Shaner, approached me. We kind of live in the same town, and he just said, hey, why don't you come and help us with our program here, the Pittsburgh Power. And I said, so I looked into it, you know, came to a couple games. It seemed to be really a lot of fun. So, yeah, and then this year I just joined them, and as far as I'm in charge of corporate partnerships. So it's been fun.
And the Power are a relatively new franchise, just a couple of years in Arena Football now, right?
Well, this will be their fourth year, right. But it's actually, the Arena Football League has been around since 1986, so we brought this team. Matt brought this team to Pittsburgh, and Lynn Swann is another owner of the Power. So a minority owner of the Power. So yeah, they brought him here, and you know, 4 years ago. And well, this is our fourth season, so we're looking for big things. That big win the other night against San Jose. So that's supposedly the best team in the league. So I'm still trying to figure out the game and learn everything about the nuances of the game and the rules and everything else. But it's fast-paced. offense, this is where you want to be.
Yeah, we're with Shane Conlon, former Bills linebacker. He is now, as he said, vice president of corporate partnerships for the Arena Football League Pittsburgh Power. Shane, were you thinking about getting back into it on the football side, or are you more comfortable now in sales and marketing?
No, I never wanted to be involved in the football part of it. I mean, they'll ask my opinion every once in a while on a player or two, and I'll offer it. But, I like the business side of it. You know, Matt's given me every opportunity to kind of run with this, the corporate stuff. And it's been going well. So hopefully we just need a winner. It's been a struggle for the last couple of years with the wins. So, but I think we got the right quarterback. We got the right team, and the partnerships are starting to come in.
I'm sure you know you feel comfortable in the business world since you left the NFL. What, 1995? You spent most of your career in business. You did a lot of commercial real estate over the years, right?
Yeah, I did. That's what I was doing prior to this. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. But you know, this gets you back into the game of football, which is fun. I mean, there's 18 games. We play either Friday or Saturday night. So. Kids love it, and you know it's just action packed. Plus, it's fun just to go out and sell that kind of stuff. You know,
especially
the game of football.
Yeah, especially in that market, and you know, you've been around Pittsburgh now for years and years. Virtually every form of football, high school, college, pro football. It seems the city of Pittsburgh embraces football on all levels, Shane.
No, they do. They absolutely do. Especially, you know, obviously with the Steelers being here, and you know they sell out every year since I've been here. And, you know, this is a football town, whether it's, you know, the biggest thing in the weekends during the fall is high school football. And then you go from, you know, obviously Pitt's been struggling lately, but, you know, they get a pretty good turnout there. So, yeah, we're trying to bring, arena football to Pittsburgh, and it's been well received. I think if we can just, you know, put some wins together, so... which we definitely have the team to do it. We'll get a lot more fans in there, that's for sure.
You know, it's got to be a kind of a market that is ripe for professional football, especially, you know, your schedule is what, mid-March to the end of July? It's a town without an NBA franchise. You've got you play in the Console Energy Center, a fairly new arena. It's got to be a market that eventually, as you said, maybe with a few wins, will embrace arena football, huh?
Well, plus the fact that an average family can afford to come to these games. You know, the average ticket price is basically, you know, $10 to $15 a ticket. So it's not like you can't with the Steelers. I mean, it's $250 a ticket. So it's very affordable for families. So and that's what we're seeing a lot of families, a lot of young kids. You know, it's a lot of action. It's just good, clean fun. I think. You know, they throw the ball almost every time. So if you're an offensive-driven fan, this is the place you want to be.
Hey, Shane, one thing. I looked at your schedule with the Pittsburgh Power. Your team lost their first game, had a bye week, and in the bye week you replaced your coach. What went down there, Shane?
Well, yeah. We just thought we should have won. The Cleveland team was struggled this year, and this guy's been here for great guy, Coach Stingley, but you know, Matt just thought it was time for a change. So, and actually, the guy that we got probably would never have gotten him, the new coach, if it wasn't for, you know, us playing one game and then firing the old guy, because he was part of a franchise that thought they were going to be available, and then the franchise folded the last in Utah at the last moment. So we were able to get this coach because. All the arena teams had coaches at that time. So it worked out perfectly for us. So we got a new guy, and we're really happy to have him.
Shane, what have you learned about arena football in your year or so on the job there with the Pittsburgh Power?
As far as football, it's still football. I think but the, you know, the games, the rules are a little different. But it's still what I've learned with the players. You know, there's some good players out there. There really are, and they just – you know, obviously, I think a lot of them think they can get back in the NFL through this, which we usually get one or two guys from the league that sign with NFL teams. But, you know, these kids just love football, and they love being around it. And, you know, back to the glory days. I mean, it's just, it's fun. It's, you know, football's football.
We're with Shane Conlon, 9 years in the NFL, six of them with the Buffalo Bills, former Bills first-round draft pick in 1987. Hey, Shane, I was thinking about this, and you had it was a different era back then. There was no rookie salary cap. You had kind of an extended contract holdout before you signed your first contract, didn't you? It got a little ugly way back then in 87, didn't it?
Well, I did. I mean, I remember we just wanted, market value. So I was the eighth pick, so we kind of wanted to be slotted in the eighth spot. So, and obviously Bill Polian didn't see it that way. So, yeah, we had a little holdout, but it was just, I don't know, 10 days or so. But, yeah, we got in, and everything was good after that.
You know what I remember about that at training camp? Bill Polian, who was back then very fiery, very emotional. He referred to your agent at the time as a charlatan, which sent all of the media to the dictionary to find out what exactly a charlatan was. You remember that?
Right. Yeah, I do. I remember sitting in that, because I was going to sign my deal. So I brought all my stuff and going to sign with Bill and my agent, Brett Senior, at the time. And I guess the numbers didn't add up. So my agent, Brett, just threw the spilled coffee all over Bill. And then we said, come on, let's go. And I remember going back to Frewsburg. It was about a 40-minute drive, not even half an hour drive from Fredonia at the time. And my dad's like, what are you doing here? He was so upset that I didn't sign that deal, which we ended up signing it the next day. But yeah, it was a tough time, especially for my parents, being from Frewsburg. More money than they've ever seen in their life. So yeah. it was tough on him.
Well, it really worked. Yeah, it really worked out when you think of the defense you walked onto when you eventually signed with Bruce Smith and Daryl Talley, and Fred Smirlis was still here when you started. There was talent, Ray Bentley. There was talent all over that defense in the late 80s and early 90s, wasn't there?
There was. We had Mark Kelso, too, in the secondary. Nate Odoms was in my draft. Yeah, we just had a great defense. And obviously, put it with Jim and, the offensive power that we had. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, Shane, did you ever look back and, you left here via free agency and went to the St. Louis Rams, obviously, a better contract at the time. When you look back, are you happy with that move? Would you make that move again if you had to do it all over again?
Well, obviously, I wanted to stay in Buffalo, but, that was when, they got rid of Bill. So Bill Polian wanted me, and I know Marv did, but then the new guy came in is John Butler, right? And he said he wanted me at a certain price, and so I went out and found a better deal, which, was tough to do, especially I didn't really want to go to the West Coast, but, the Rams made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So, and I gave, the Bills every opportunity to match it, and they just couldn't do it. So, which is fine. I mean, obviously, If I had my brothers, I would have loved to stay in Buffalo. I think most people do, being a hometown kid there and everything else. So, but it worked out.
It sure did. Shane, there a lot of Bills fans are nostalgic these days with last week's passing of team owner Ralph Wilson. Did you ever have many encounters with Mr. Wilson? Do you have any memories of Mr. Wilson from your time here in Buffalo?
I didn't have a ton of encounters with him. I know he used to come in on Fridays and, go to our practices, but didn't see him a whole lot, really didn't get involved, and he really never got involved in any of the contract talk. So, but I just remember seeing he would always come and shake everybody's hand. He was just a very, very nice man. And I know a lot of other guys were much more friendlier than I was. I was kind of a shy kid then, too. So, but he was always had a presence. He was always on the field. Everybody always had a smile on his face, and it's obviously very sorry to see him go, but yeah, he had a really good life, I tell you.
Shane, I know you and a lot of your teammates from that era are very concerned about Jim Kelly's health. What do you think? What have you heard? What do you think about Jim Kelly's latest battle with cancer?
That's it's really upsetting. Obviously, we're trying to figure out what's going on. Hopefully, he's a tough guy. He'll make it through, obviously, but it's kind of shocking to see, we're all getting to that age that, families are starting to, people are starting to get sick. So, other than the fact that, it surprised everyone because we thought, he had it under control and then it came back. And so, but he's a player. I'm sure he'll be great. I sent out a note to him, obviously, to say, good luck and keep fighting, which, he's a fighter. He'll be all right, I'm sure.
Shane Conlon, former Bills linebacker, our guest on the line with us, former Pro Bowl Bills linebacker. Shane, I know you still have family here in Western New York, down in Frewsburg in Chautauqua, and along with some Bills reunion type events, you get up here from time to time, right?
Yeah, I have. For that 50th anniversary thing, I think that was the last time I was here. But yeah, I see my parents are still in Frewsburg. My two brothers and sisters still live there too. So I see those guys every other month or so. So it's great, yeah.
And you get up to Geneva on the Finger Lakes. Your son is a pretty good quarterback for Hobart College, right?
Yeah, it's my oldest, Patrick. Yeah, he had a really good junior year. I love that place up there. So, yeah, we go to all those games. So, actually, I take that back. I drive through Buffalo almost every other week. So it's a lot of fun. I have a son, a junior son in high school that plays on Friday night. So then we jump in the car early Saturday morning to go watch Patrick play. And his game starts at noon, so it takes about 5 hours to get there. So we have very busy weekends during the fall.
It sounds like it. Well, I'm glad we got a hold of you this time of year, Shane. It's great to reconnect with you. People still talk about you fondly here. We really appreciate you being on the air with us tonight to talk about it. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, John. Thanks for the time.
Shane Conlon, former Bills linebacker, now vice president of corporate partnerships for the Pittsburgh Power of the Arena Football League, the Pittsburgh Power of the AFL. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple of minutes left in this hour, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. If you've got thoughts on what we were talking about earlier, if you were a member of that stadium study group, that stadium work group, what would be at the top of your priority list going into that meeting yesterday? 803-0550, the number to call, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Our thanks again to Shane Conlon for joining us, the vice president of corporate partnerships for the Pittsburgh Power of the Arena Football League. I was surprised to learn that Shane was in football and not dealing with football, but sales matters. You know, I came across this too as well today. Shane is on the ballot for the 2014 College Football Hall of Fame, Shane Conlon, along with a couple of his teammates from the Penn State National Championship team of 1986, offensive lineman Steve Wisniewski, running back DJ Dozier. Shane Conlon was a two-time All-American, the leader of the 85 and 86 teams. They went 23-1 in his last 2 years there at Penn State. That's why he's a first-round draft pick here. And he is a finalist for the College Football Hall of Fame. Good to hear from Shane. Always like that guy. A couple of news notes from what's going on here at One Bills Drive. You know by now that Saturday is the day for the celebration and remembrance, the public celebration and remembrance of Ralph C. Wilson Jr. It's going to be this Saturday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Bills Fieldhouse. It's a walkthrough exhibit in the Fieldhouse. There are not going to be any speakers, not going to be any speeches, but there's going to be an exhibit to walk through featuring memorabilia and some really cool artifacts from Ralph Wilson's legacy with the Buffalo Bills. And the fans will have an opportunity to sign a guest book to pay their respects to the Hall of Fame owner, that guest book to be presented to the Wilson family at a later date. So it's this Saturday. The parking lot's open at noon. There is no tailgate available. This is a non-tailgate event. The vehicles must come in Drive 1, Lot 1 via Big Tree Road. From 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., the walkthrough exhibit at the Buffalo Bills Fieldhouse. A celebration in remembrance of Bills owner Ralph Wilson Jr. coming up this Saturday. Let's squeeze in a call here. Let's go to Kevin in Cheektowaga. Hi, Kevin. Welcome. You're on the air.
My friends call me Kev.
Hi, Kev.
Nice to talk to you. Hey, you know, I think I love the old stadiums, and I love, you know, the history. But in Buffalo, we need a new stadium. And I'll tell you, the corridors in the current stadium, I think they're only like 10 feet wide. I mean, I don't know wider than that, but they're narrow. And we need more room. We need to move people through more easier. But again, the history at the Ralph and what kind of games came through there and everything that happened, I love it. But we need a new stadium. We need it to be downtown. And I think that'd be a good thing for Buffalo.
All right. Thanks, Kemp. You know, a lot of the issues that you talk about there are going to be addressed in the refurbished stadium, the work that's going on right now as far as the concourses. I don't know if they'll be any wider, but they certainly will be nicer. I know the concession stands are going to be totally rebuilt and totally retooled to provide different sorts of concession items. So a lot of the issues you talk about are going to be addressed already in the multi-million-dollar refurbishment that's going on now at One Bills Drive. So let's see what it looks like next year. And I think any new stadium will have a lot of that as well. But a good idea. We'll get back to this concept in the next hour as well. What would you like to see in a new stadium? What would be at the top of your priority list for the Buffalo Bills moving forward on their stadium issues? We're going to take a break for the top of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to have Danny Crossman, the Bills special teams coach, in studio with us. We haven't talked to him in months. And he's got a couple of players added to the roster over the last few weeks that will really should you'd expect would help out on special teams. Teams coach Danny Crossman joining us next in studio. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like the kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller! You can't stop him! How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
There you go. Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on this Wednesday night from One Bills Drive. It's been a while since we've talked to our next guest. He is the special teams coach for the Buffalo Bills, Danny Crossman. Coach, thanks for coming by.
Pleasure to be here.
Haven't talked to you in a while. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to be here. It's been an interesting year. It's been great. It's hard to believe we've been on here a year already, and we're excited about year two.
Yeah, I was thinking we are just about, believe it or not, almost halfway through the offseason already.
It flies. You know, the cycle of the NFL calendar year, it's amazing with the season. And then you get into the offseason, you do your evaluations, you get into free agency, and then the draft, and then your OTAs and your mini camp, and next thing you know, you're back in training camp, and here we go with the season again. So it's a good life.
It's coming pretty soon. Speaking of the offseason, Danny, when the offseason began, Coach Marone, in sort of his wrap-up news conference, talked about the need for developing and adding core special teamers. Tell me about your thoughts on that, what you thought you may have lacked as far as special teams players, personnel last year.
Well, I think what happened was, anytime you're new, you're trying to develop and identify those guys on your own roster because you really don't know what you have. You look around the league and a lot of the successful franchises in terms of the kicking game year in and year out have a good core nucleus of three or four or five guys that are predominantly three or four phase guys. And then you sprinkle in some backups and you sprinkle in some starters and you got a good core group. Well, we tried to identify those guys on the move last year. We think we found some, but what we've been able to do now in this offseason to add some guys who have some skins on the wall, if you may, as proven core special teams guys when they've been asked to play that role.
When you get into a season or even a preseason like you did last year, is there just not enough time in those four games and that 5-6 weeks of training camp to identify, first of all, who's going to be on your roster when you break camp, and secondly, who's going to be your core special teams?
Well, the hard thing about identifying the core guys and special teams, especially with a new group coming in, is you're still trying to identify who certain players are on offense and defense. Mm-hmm. And like anything, in most cases, guys that haven't been identified as that role, they're striving for more. You know, you look at like our linebacker situation a year ago, and we're in training camp, and, you know, with Nigel Bradham and Arthur Motes, you know, battling for a starting job. You know, Nigel Bradham did some really good things for us when he played on special teams, and then he becomes a starter, and we lose him on some stuff. So you're never able to get that continuity of a group really through preseason because you got so many guys fighting for spots. When you're able to do that early, like you see a lot of groups, you know, I think Chicago is a great illustration. Kansas City with Dave Tobe moving over there, he's taking that philosophy where you look at their active roster on game day, it's the same guys playing the same position every single play. You break down 10 games, it's the same guy playing L3 on kickoff. It's the same guy playing, you know, right tackle and kickoff return. So there's that continuity. They've identified their players. They've worked together. Like any group, that cohesiveness that you have, whether it's an offensive line, whether it's a secondary, when the same guy can play next to the same guy week in and week out, you're going to have a better product.
As last season went along, it appeared that you had identified a couple of very strong special teamers, including a guy who had been around here a couple of years, Marcus Easley, the receiver from Connecticut.
Yeah, that's a great example of a guy who stayed healthy, had an opportunity, and really excelled. And that's the kind of guy that you want now, even better things. You know, led the NFL in solo tackles last year in special teams and was in the top three in total tackles. And, you know, hopefully he continues to grow as a special teams player. And then, like some guys that, we'll talk about, I'm sure, at some point in this show, when he gets other opportunities, whether it be on offense or if it's a guy that's on the defensive side of the ball, when those opportunities present himself, he's proven he can be a productive NFL player, so more opportunities will come his way.
What made Marcus such a good special team or coverage guy last year?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, Marcus is smart in terms of understanding what he's seeing. He understands who's going to block him and how they're going to block him based on film study during the week. He's a physical player, plays well with his hands, and then has a great desire to get to the football, which, you know, isn't always the case for a lot of people in a kicking game. It's not easy. You're going to get hit from a lot of different angles. It's not always going to be the same vision things, and his desire to get the football was really outstanding.
A couple of other guys, maybe under the radar contributors on special teams, Chris Hogan and Ty Powell. Can you talk about them and what you saw from them on teams last year?
Yeah, that's another good example. There's Chris Hogan, who, you know, in training camp, you know, it was a big talk last year about him as a wide receiver, and you know, was able to make the roster, and now he's active. So now he's active. We got to find a way to use him in the kicking game, and was able to get production and even more production as the season went on. And then Ty Powell, a player who we picked up who really hadn't done anything in the kicking game in his brief stay in Seattle in training camp, and was great in meetings, extra time with the coaches. Once given the opportunity, you play him on two phases, and he's successful, makes a play. You play him on the third phase, more success. You play him on all four, more success. Had, I want to say, he was our fifth leading tackler and was only active for five games. So impressive quick run. So he's a guy that we think going forward, you know, if he's available to the kicking game phases, is going to be a good player.
Hey, Danny, have you found in your years coaching special teams in the NFL that a player might have to undergo like a change in their mindset to think to themselves, all right, I might not be the number one, number two, number three receiver, but I can get a job, hang on to a job by contributing on special teams. Do you almost have to, something have to click in mentally for guys to do that?
Without question. And when it clicks, you see guys who take unbelievable pride in that, and they understand this is a great way to make a living, to stay in the National Football League, and I can do this for a long time. If this is what my job is, if this is my niche, I'm going to be the best at it. But it's like what makes NFL players so special is every one of them thinks they are the best at what they do, whether it's an offensive position, a defense position, and exactly what we're saying, that ability to click that into special teams is a little foreign at first. But when it happens, you see guys all through the league that year in and year out are on rosters and having great production on winning teams because they bought into, hey, this is a great way to spend the next 10 years of my life playing in the National Football League.
We're talking with Danny Crossman, the Bills special teams coordinator. Before we talk about some of the additions you've had, just another issue from last year, the kick return game. You've got some dynamic speed return guys, and it was very frustrating that they didn't get enough chances last year, wasn't it, for you as much as it was for us?
Well, you know, I think without question, I think, you know, when we're able to, you know, identify Mr. Goodwin as our guy, and then he gets hurt and he misses some time, and then we had to put some situations, we were putting some situations in games where we had some guys back that weren't really healthy, so we had to probably sit on some kicks that we would have normally liked to return.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, with this new rule and some of the way these guys kicked, well, then you go into games and you don't even get an opportunity. So, I mean, without question, that's something when we have opportunities to get returns, we need to be able to take advantage of them.
All right, Danny Crossman is our guest, the special teams coach for the Bills. Let's talk about the additions and maybe potential core special teamers added to this roster. And the one that jumps out, the free agent, Corey Graham, the Buffalo native, signed a couple of weeks ago. Tell us what you know about him.
Oh, and first of all, an outstanding individual, a highly productive football player. And I say that he's exactly what a lot of organizations, and obviously us being one of them, is looking for. You have a late round draft pick, was a fifth round draft pick of the Chicago Bears, makes the team by showing he is a competent defensive back and a very good special teams player. And during the course of his career there, develops into a Pro Bowl elite special teams player. When given the opportunity to play defense there, he plays well, but's never given that opportunity on a week in, a week out basis, takes his game to Baltimore, and now has a bigger opportunity to play on defense, excels as a nickel, excels as a starting corner when he gets put into that role and still plays special teams and or plays every phase of special teams when he's not a starter and is still outstanding. A great example of a player who the more jobs you give him and the more things you ask him to do, he shows that he can do all of them.
I was telling you before we came on the air at the meetings in Orlando last week, we talked to John Harbaugh, former special teams coach, about Corey Graham. I thought he was going to burst into tears about losing him. He knows how valuable he can be.
To be a winning football team, you can't have enough guys like that that can play many roles and excel at all of them. Obviously, from a selfish standpoint, special teams being one of them. And John, as a former special teams coach, now as a head coach, he understands that. When you're only able to dress a limited number of guys for a game, you better have some scorpions in the kicking game or it's going to be a long year.
How has Corey been used on teams in the past, on coverage teams? Is he a gunner?
He was an outstanding gunner in Chicago. He played a one or a two on kickoff and outside. They did a lot of good force stuff with him, made a lot of tackles that way. As a quote-unquote corner, but he's got enough size. I mean, he played on kickoff return team. Obviously, he played on the punt return team. So he's a guy that has a lot of versatility and has been very productive in anything he's ever been asked
and
to do.
And what qualities does he have that make him such a strong coverage guy in the kicking game?
Again, he's got good length. He's got good speed. He's got, like we talked about with Marcus, he's got an unbelievable desire to get the ball. He doesn't think anybody can block him. So it's the same concept and the same idea you look at from, you know, a great wide receiver. They don't think anybody can cover him. You know, you look at a great cornerback. He thinks he can cover everybody. Pass rusher. Yeah, I can't be blocked. It's the same mentality in the kicking game. He doesn't think anybody can handle him. He's going to make the play.
Another free agent addition, the running back Anthony Dixon. Tell us what you like about him in the special teams game.
Well, that's to find a four phase, meaning when we talk about the big four phases, kick return, punt return, punt and kickoff, a guy as a running back that can play all four of those teams and also fill in as a backup running back, fill in some as a fullback in situations in San Francisco over his career there. To be able to get four phases from a running back is hard. And what happens is if you don't have that and you don't have that roster dynamic, those spots, they got to be filled by somebody. I mean, you take away the specialist on the big four phases, you got 39 roles you got to fill. And with the limited of players that you have active, it's got to come from somebody. And the better that guy can be, obviously, the better your group's going to be.
All right, do guys on the offensive side of the ball make good coverage guys and running back, for example?
Several of them do. Several of them are outstanding. There's outstanding wide receivers. There's outstanding running backs. There's some good tight ends. But like anything else, there's not a lot of them because, that's not something that they're doing back from college. You're trying to teach them something from scratch that they really haven't done.
Danny, let's talk for a second about the rules changes. They went through a number of rules changes last week. They have tinkered so much in the special teams over the last couple of years with rules. Did you breathe a sigh of relief? Like, phew, they didn't change anything. Well, they did, actually. No, they didn't change anything. They're going to have that experiment in preseason with PATs. What do you think of that?
I'd rather not comment on that because I don't want to get my FedEx envelope from the league office.
Let me put it this way. Do you see a problem with the extra point kicks? Is it too automatic in your view?
You know what? Here's what I think. I think what the biggest thing from my perspective is they've limited what you can do to rush the kick. I go back to 2003. It's the second week of the season. I'm with the Carolina Panthers, and we are beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 9-3. They're coming off their Super Bowl. We're beating them 9-3. They score a touchdown. They throw a touchdown pass to Keyshawn Johnson with 2 seconds to go on the clock. Okay, so now it's 9-9. They kick the extra point. They win the game. We block the extra point to send the game to overtime and kick a field goal to win the game. Now, you can ask every player on that team. That set the tone for what it ended up being for us, an NFC championship and a run to the Super Bowl. But that play set the tone for our season. And you're limited in what you can do now in terms of rushing the kicker, so it makes it easier for the protection.
And you're limited probably because for the same reasons which they move around with the kickoff line. It's all trying to protect from injury, I would think.
It's all player safety. But believe me, there's no anything for player safety, I understand, but at the same time, I love the integrity of what the NFL has been and what special teams have been in the NFL.
Well, and we talked about Goodwin and the limited chances you've had in the kick return game. There's no question that moving up the kickoff line has been a big problem in terms of taking that play almost out of the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways it could go. It'd be interesting if they would have moved it with some of the philosophy with, you know, when you look at and you space and you use some numbers, and I'm not going to get into all the details here, but when you look at some of the information that we have from looking at, you know, where certain people are in terms of on the field when the ball's in certain locations in terms of the returner's hands, there's some teams that I don't know if they'd want to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone every time with some of the guys. I mean, there's an opportunity maybe to pin some people deep and not just give them the ball on the 20-yard line. So it could go a lot of different ways, and the whole philosophy of what your team and what your personnel would enable you to do would be interesting. But I'm glad they didn't change anything, and hopefully, you know, we can keep some of our guys that, you know, we thought were going to be back there deep, keep them healthy throughout the season, and hopefully get some more opportunities.
I don't want to get you fined. I don't want to get you in trouble, but do you think they pick on special teams maybe as a place to tinker with rules because of this player safety issues?
Yeah, that I don't know. You know, I think that, you know, obviously they have people there doing some work. You know, it's, you know, I have a lot of questions. You know, they view certain things differently than we coaches view them, but I think that's just part of life.
We're just about 3 weeks away from, I believe, the players returning. You got to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's always nice when you get them back in the building. It's amazing now. You know, there's maybe the biggest rule change that, you know, it used to be you get to the middle of March and you had the guys back in the building, and now you're almost, you know, 6 weeks later to when you get them. I think it's crazy that we go this long without seeing them. And so I think you ask any coach in any building around this country that they can't wait to get their guys back and get to work.
Danny, thanks very much.
Thank you, Murph.
Danny Crossman, the Bills special teams coordinator. Our thanks to him for joining us. We sat down with him a little bit earlier this evening and talked about the Bills special teams. If you have thoughts on what you've heard, thoughts on what the Bills are all about special teams-wise, phone lines open, 803-0550, the number to call. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show, or you can go back to what we discussed in the first hour of the show if you'd like. That would be the stadium work group, and what would be at the top of your list for the future of the Buffalo Bills stadium. Anyway, give us a call. Let us know what you think. Coming up a little bit later at the bottom of the hour, Steve Ranazzizzi. You may know him as Kevin from the TV show The League. He's the commissioner. He's coming to Buffalo this week. We'll have some fun with him coming up at the bottom of the hour. But now's your chance to ring in and let us know what you think about Bills special teams get moving forward, about the stadium moving forward. A lot of interesting things, actually, from Danny Crossman, I thought. On the rules, let's start from the back and from the end and move backward a little bit. They really do, I think, and Danny didn't say it, I think they do tinker too much with special teams rules. And even though they did not pass this year, it appears that they are moving towards changing some of the kickoff rules from some of the point after rules, all in an effort to avoid injury, I guess. You know, it strikes me, a couple of things strike me on the extra points, and Danny kind of hinted at this. They have restricted so much how you can line up to defend an extra point. They made it an automatic play. What is it? 99.6% extra points were converted last year. But they prevented you from overloading one side. They prevented you from pushing on those kicks, defending those kicks. They prevented you from lining up over the center, the head of the center. So they made it more automatic. And now they want to take the play away or find another way because it's boring. They made it that way. I'm talking about the league and all of their rules changes. The kickoff rule change. I mean, the one proposal was to move it up to, what, the 40-yard line this year, totally taking kick returns out of the game. That's, you know, the Bills, it was maddening last season to see the great special teams work. You know, the potential is there for guys like Marquise Goodwin and others to make some big plays and break some big runs in the return game, and they never got a chance to do it in the kick return game. I mean, Goodwin missed four games with his hand injury, obviously, and it seemed like it took him a while to get back up to speed. But still, they have taken the kick return right out of the game with the shorter kickoffs now. And I guess that's what they want to do. They point to evidence that it means fewer injuries, but I'm not so sure about that. I think it's an important part of the game, kickoff returns. I really do. They've taken it right out of the game. The Bills were unable to get anything going in their kickoff return game last year. Goodwin was hurt. I do think the fact that they were breaking in a rookie quarterback for most of last year meant that they were not willing to take a lot of chances in the return game. They did not want to wind up with bad field position, so they probably encouraged their return men to take a knee, we'll take our lumps and start at the 20 as opposed to, you know, starting inside the 20. But it all sort of conspired to make it an ineffective return game for the Bills last year, and I think it was mostly a result of the rules moves that they've made. I'm not in favor of the continued tinkering of rules, especially when it comes to special teams. Let us know what you think about that or anything else. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. We can talk about the stadium, too. If you were a member of that stadium work group that met yesterday, if you had the fan vote, what would be at the top of your list, your number one priority for a stadium that suits the Buffalo Bills moving forward? Here's John in Rochester. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Yeah, you know, I would, for the long run, I know we're putting $130 million into the stadium now, but for the long run solution, 10 years down the road, I say let's keep what we got. Let's do what Soldier Field did, what they did in Green Bay. That's a great stadium, and I think if they put, let's say, a half a billion or $400 million into it, $300 million as a long-term solution. I say that's the route to go. I love the stadium. I've been going there since it opened up, and you know, it's a great facade.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, John. I mean, there are questions there about that I don't have the answer to. They're mostly engineering questions. How much, you know, the bones of the stadium, now 41 years old, at the end of this lease, it'll be close to 50 years old, if not 50. You know, are the bones of the stadium strong enough to support the kind of refurbishment that you talk about? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure that's an issue that the stadium work group is going to get at, because I've heard it said by the county executive and others that, you know, reconstructing Ralph Wilson Stadium right here in Orchard Park is still on the table. That's an option for what may go on here long term to keep the you know, the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, happy in Western New York. So I don't know the answer to that question. The bones of the stadium structurally, I know there's been a lot of work that went into it over the years, including the last 15 or 20 years, but is it strong enough to keep it going for a little while longer? You know, you'd like to, at the end of this lease, you'd like to have a longer term lease in place. You know, this is 10 years. You'd like to get to 20 years, I would think, on the next lease, right? So you need a stadium that's going to withstand the test of time. You cite the two leading examples for that. Soldier Field, which they've totally disfigured in the reconstruction, and Lambeau Field, which they've done a tremendous job with making it look better. But it's an interesting question, I think, as you look forward as to what sort of a stadium the Bills might want. Everybody praises the sight lines at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Everybody loves the sight lines at Ralph Wilson Stadium. Maybe that's where you do. Maybe that's what you stay with. It's an interesting question. All right, coming up, we're going to try something a little bit different. There's a comedian who does the show The League on FSXX. It used to be on FX Network. Now it's on FXX. The League is a show, if you haven't seen it, about fantasy football players, a group of friends who play fantasy football. The league commissioner is a character called Kevin McMahon. And the actor who plays that character is Steve Ranazzisi, who is a native of Long Island. He's coming to Buffalo this weekend, Steve Ranazzisi is. He's going to be appearing at the Helium Comedy Club on Mississippi Street, downtown Buffalo. We're going to talk with him about fantasy football, about his show, which is popular among many football fans all over the country, really. Comedian Steve Ranazzisi of The League is coming up next on the show, so stick around for that. It is the John Murphy Show. We are presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
There it is, a theme song for the FX and FXX show, The League. On the line with us right now, one of the stars of that show, going into its sixth season. And he's coming to Buffalo to appear at Helium Comedy Club over the next few days. Steve Ranazzisi, live on the line with us. Steve, good evening. Thanks for being on the air with us tonight.
Good evening. Thank you, John, for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
You're a native of Smithtown, Long Island, Suffolk County. I thought Long Island was Jets country, Steve.
Well, you know, there's a lot of Jet fans here, a lot of Mets fans. I mean, that team's on the island. They actually play on Long Island. But, yeah, I mean, the way it broke for me is, you know, my dad grew up in the Bronx, so it's like the Bronx with the Yankees, Giants, and, you know, Knicks, Rangers. That's how it breaks down for me, and that's, you know, it's always been like that. Although I remember my falling in love with sports was the 86 World Series, because my dad was watching to hate the Mets, so I learned about what it was to hate another team, and then I learned about what beauty and glory and sports was all about in that game 6. It was incredible, you know?
Yeah, and amazing. amazing game, Steve. As a Giants fan, if my math is correct, you had to be about, what, 12 years old for Super Bowl 25, the Bills and the Giants?
Yes. It was the day before a humongous school project, and I remember even our parents were cursing the teacher because we were all like, how could you do this the night before, like, the Super Bowl? Like, the next day, this big thing was due. So I was over at my buddy's house, so we had to continue doing this project and also watching the Super Bowl. And as things unfolded, it was, like, the craziest thing. That was the first time I ever, like, saw one guy blow a game. And you're just, like, you feel, like, I was, like, I felt empathy for Scott Norwood. I was, like, oh, my God, that was it. We won because he didn't do that. And I was, like, oh, my God, that's how sports go.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What did you think as a 12-year-old when you saw Norwood line up for a 47-yard field goal? Were you nervous? Did you think, the Giants are going to lose it right then?
Over. You know, it was like, we really did. We thought the game, I'm like, oh, this is how it ends. This is how, like, we're going to feel horrible defeat. And just when he pulls it, when you see Martin jumping up in the air and Lawrence Taylor jumping up in the air, it's just like, I was like, oh, that's it. We won. I can't even believe it. You know, we were not supposed to do that. I think you guys were big favorites in that game.
Yeah, I think so. And you remain a Giants fan, even through some difficult years. And I saw an interview you gave. You weren't real happy with Eli Manning's season last year, Steve.
No, you know what? And looking back on it now, I was wrong in the moment. I was like, he's trying to do everything. But he really felt like he had to, and he had a lot of pressure on him all year. The offensive line wasn't great. And he didn't have targets, healthy targets to throw to. And it was, and then they knew he had to throw because, our running game was horrible from day one, literally from snap one. So there was a lot of pressure on him. He tried to step up. It doesn't always work out. He had a down year. I think he's still a great quarterback, but, you want to see help come his way.
Our old pal Kevin Gilbride, replaced by Ben McAdoo as offensive coordinator. What do you think that bodes for the Giants moving forward?
I like that. Mix it up a bit. Look, Tom Coughlin is probably, the longest tenured coach maybe right now?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that, by mixing up coordinators, and look, the offense wasn't great last year, and, they put a lot of eggs in the wrong basket. So I think people have to be held accountable, and, I think they were, and I like the change. I like mixing it up.
We're on the line with Steve Ranazzisi. He's going to appear at the Helium Comedy Club in downtown Buffalo, Mississippi Street, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, a couple of shows on Friday and Saturday. So he's coming to Buffalo. He's a huge Giants fan. He follows pro football. And what a dream role it must be to be Kevin McMahon, the league commissioner in the show, The League, Steve.
Yeah, no, it's really, I love doing the job. First of all, just getting to work with the other comedians on the show are, the best improvisers in the world. So getting to go and have fun with them every day is awesome comedically. And then you get to be in the world of sports and specifically football, and you get to meet these guys face-to-face and interact with them and hang out with them, and have, make fun of them. You get to talk smack. Like, I talk smack to J.J. Watt, and that guy looks like Baby Shrek. That guy is humongous.
And you also had our buddy Ryan Fitzpatrick on the show just a couple of years ago. How did that go?
We did. It was great. We was in town for the ESPYs. I remember shooting that scene because we were at some club like right near the ESPYs, and he came on because we knew we were going to do an episode that year about smarts and the Wonderlic test, and we all take the Wonderlic test, and we knew that he got like a 49 out of 50, and he also went to Harvard, and one of our creators went to Harvard as well, so we're like, all right, we'll make this work, and he was great. He came in. And he knew exactly what it was about. All you have to do well on our show is be able to, like, not take yourself very serious and make fun of yourself. And all the guys that have come on have been great at that.
Yeah, it's a long list of NFL stars who've been on the show. Who've been some of the best and who's been some of the worst?
the best. J.J. Watt was great, man. It's between Terrell Suggs, who's been on twice now.
Uh-huh.
And both times killed it because that guy, talk about not taking yourself seriously. I don't think he takes anything but football seriously because he's just like he goes back at us more than we go at him. And he's so funny. But then J.J. Watt this year was on, and we got him on a Monday, and we shot with him, and he was great. And then he shot some commercials and stuff during the week, and then we shot with him again on Friday. And he knew everything. He knew marks and cues and everything. And he just was, like, perfect. Like, oh, that guy, that's why that guy's the defensive player of the year. He gets it.
Any players struggle badly trying to do the show? You might not want to dime anybody out here, but anybody really have a rough time doing the show?
I don't think so. No, I mean, I have a rough time doing the show. These guys are really good. We're all very funny, but you know they're very fast and funny, and guys that are on the show often, like Jason Mantzoukas, who plays Rafi. It's like it's very tough to keep straight faces around the funniest dudes on the planet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to be on our show.
One of my favorite episodes, maybe I guess just one episode. You and your wife have an encounter with Jay Cutler, right? Your kids were in the same preschool.
Yeah. Yes, we last year Kristen Cavallari was on, and we were in the same kind of like baby group with her, and we try to steal their breast milk and give it to our son so that hopefully because that's how genetics work, you know, and it just passed in that way. So we thought that that would work, and then she caught us. So she had a great time, and we had really a lot of fun having her. So we were like, you know what, maybe they made up. So we'll have them on again, and this time Jay can be on, and we can kind of fake things, you know, down the line. And this year was a whole mishap with a charity thing, and it was really, really a fun episode. But he was great. You know, he doesn't want to be an actor, and he doesn't really like the limelight. So, you know, that's not his comfort zone, and he was awesome. He was great.
Steve Ranazzisi is appearing in Buffalo at Helium Comedy Club tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. He's on the line with us now. He is one of the stars of the show, The League, which deals with fantasy football. Do people come up to you, Steve, and ask for fantasy football tips?
Constantly. They really do.
Wow.
And look, let me tell you, I really have, gotten worse at fantasy football since I've been on the show, because I've been in a lot of leagues now, spreading myself too thin, and I'm not doing my homework the way I used to. And it's, you know, I've gotten way, way worse at fantasy football. But people don't know that, and they ask me. And and then they get insulted if you don't give them some sort of advice. So I just, you know, I'm like, look, this is, I don't know what to tell you, but this is the best advice I can give you, and I try.
Are they confused, Steve? Do they understand that you're playing a role?
No, because I don't think I'm not that great at fantasy football on the show either. I've gotten, you know, lucky sometimes and unlucky other times, but I'm not that great. So I don't think people are really like, all right, man, you've won 3 times. Tell me about, you know, what I'm doing wrong. So it's not that often, but people want to know. It's always like, who do I draft first? It's always those people want to know the pressure situation because, you know, you get the first draft pick. It's, you know, you don't want to blow it, and it's a long time before you pick again, so
yeah.
People want to know about the pressure situations.
It's, Steve, you do play fantasy football outside the show, right? But even though you say you don't play that well.
I do, in a league with my high school buddies.
Okay. And on the show, the league trophy, the championship trophy is called the Shiva? What's that?
Shiva.
What's that?
Yeah, the Shiva. That is owed to... On the show, owed to the the ugliest girl in our high school, and her name was Shiva Kamini, and last name Somar Kandar Krum. So Shiva Kamini, Somar Kandar Krum, and now we become friends with her later on in life, and now she's a beautiful woman, and she's a doctor, and we're all sort of back in love with her again for different reasons. And she's very integral in the show, and she's always been a part of the show. But yes, we all are going after this Shiva. Every year.
Steve, as part of being on the show, I imagine you get a chance to go around not just to, you know, to meet some of these players, but maybe go to NFL sites. In fact, I believe our president and CEO, Russ Brandon, here with the Bills, kind of bumped into you at the Super Bowl a month or two ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to the Super Bowl this year, and we actually got to go last year as well. So 2 years in a row getting to go and enjoy the festivities of the Super Bowl. Both years, super fun. New Orleans was great for me because I had never been in New Orleans and it was 4 days and it's a getaway. I live in New York primarily, so it was sort of a home game, not that, you know, much out of, it wasn't much of a vacation. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So I saw my mother-in-law on Saturday, the day before, and I'm like, that should not be happening. I should be away, right now.
One of the great things about the show, I know you probably have a script, or is it more like an outline? It seems like there's an awful lot of improvisation going on.
Yeah, we don't write traditional scripts. with lines per se. You say this, and then I say that. It's detailed outlines that kind of take you throughout the different plot lines, and you know each scene's broken down into here's where we're going to start, here's where we want to get to, let's figure out how we do it, path out a way, and then kind of you know go off on trails from here to there, and so it's you know it's conversational. We don't you know it's the way guys talk to each other.
And what's the stand-up routine like at Helium Comedy Club here in Buffalo this weekend? Do you deal with the show? Do you deal with football, fantasy football?
Oh, I definitely, yeah, no, I talk about, you know, being on the league and how that's impacted me and that. But it's, I mean, I've been doing stand-up for 15 years, so it's sort of kind of been hand-in-hand, back and forth. And you know, like I know because of the league, people now come to the shows and things like that, so I definitely talk about that, and then you get to a good insight into what my life is like.
Yeah. Can you give us any preview about season 6 for the league? Maybe some of the NFL players who have been lined up. And when do you start shooting, Steve?
We don't start till July, so we're sort of getting all our ducks in a row right now. Our creators are. They're getting together scripts and schedules and seeing who's around. So I'm sure very soon we'll be hearing about who's going to be on. I'm excited. Well, fun for me, too.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you in Buffalo this weekend. Thanks very much for coming on the show with us tonight. Good luck with the show, The League. We're all big fans up here in Buffalo.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Steve Ranazzisi. He is the star, one of the stars of the show, The League, on FXX. He is the league commissioner on the show, and he's going to be here in Buffalo coming up tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Two shows each Friday and Saturday at Helium Comedy Club on Mississippi Street in downtown Buffalo. Steve Ranazzisi from The League. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more of The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Coming to you live from One Bills Drive tonight on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Steve Ranazzisi, the comedian. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club in downtown Buffalo tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. You can catch him on The League. He said, what did he say, July or so, they'll start shooting the 6th season. One of the key characters in The League. Our thanks to Steve Ranazzisi for joining us tonight. Hey, we want to remind you this Saturday morning, we're going to be at the 13th Annual Call to Courage Awards Breakfast at the Hyatt Regency Hotel this Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m. It'll end by 11 a.m. How do I know it'll end by then? Because I'm the master of ceremonies. I guarantee you, it will end by 11. But the Frank Reich Call to Courage Award, sponsored by Athletes in Action, the award goes to an NFL player who best exemplifies outstanding character, commitment, and leadership on and off the field and in the community. And this year's award winner is Thomas Davis, linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. He's the only, did you know this about him? He's the only player in NFL history to return to playing action after 3 ACL surgeries on the same knee. Pretty amazing. Thomas Davis from the Carolina Panthers will be honored with the Frank Reich Call to Courage Award. The 2014 High School Call to Courage Leadership Awards will be presented. Frank Reich is our host. He'll be there to talk along with Kevin Everett, former Bills tight end who suffered the catastrophic neck injury a couple of years ago. Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News will be one of the guest speakers. Still some tickets available, but you got to hustle. Not too many seats left. The number to call for tickets, 559-1800, 559-1800. Coming up this Saturday, the 13th Annual Call to Courage Award Breakfast at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, 9 a.m. this Saturday. And again, the number to call for ticket info, 559-1800. I've been the MC for that for most of the last 13 years, as a matter of fact. And it's always an inspiring and a really good time. And we will be out by 11 a.m., I guarantee you. Thanks again to our guests tonight, including Steve Ranazzisi, Danny Crossman, the Bills special teams coach. Some Twitter folks not happy about that. Well, you know, he's the special teams coach. We needed to talk to him about some of the players that they have. So there. Shane Conlon joined us earlier on. Hey, the Bills entertained a couple of draft prospects here at One Bills Drive today. We should have got to this earlier today, but a total of 3 came through the building today, including Bradley Roby, a cornerback, defensive back from Ohio State. 5'11", 194-pounder, a 3-year starter for the Buckeyes of Ohio State. And finished his career with 8 interceptions, 36 pass breakups. Bradley Roby visiting the Bills today, along with another Ohio State product, linebacker Ryan Shazier, a 6'2", 237-pounder. Had a hamstring injury that limited him at the combine, but he did participate in Ohio State's Pro Day, and he was here today as the Bills took a look at him. Baylor running back Laish Seastrunk came through the building today, 5'10", 201-pounder. Started his career at Oregon, but then redshirted and went back to his native Texas and transferred to Baylor. He was one of the three players who came in here. So far, the Bills have entertained five players here. Theoretically, they can entertain 25 more over the next couple of weeks as the draft visits continue. That's what went on here at One Bills Drive today. What's going on here at One Bills Drive on Saturday? Pretty big deal, and you're welcome to that. It is the celebration and remembrance of Ralph C. Wilson, Jr. It's coming up Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock at the Bills Fieldhouse. It is open to the public. What it is a walk-through exhibit featuring memorabilia and artifacts from Mr. Wilson's legacy with the Bills. Parking lots open at noon. There is no tailgating. The event goes from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and you should enter via Drive 1 on Big Tree Road this Saturday at the Buffalo Bills Fieldhouse, a celebration and remembrance of Ralph C. Wilson, Jr. We want to thank our presenting sponsor tonight, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, Mike Jafari, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills Director of Broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow night, so tune in for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.